Barlos belts it to right. Deep. And gone! And they do a little safety squeeze. And the game is tied.
Right man in the right spot, Nicky Lopez. The Rays, they talked about it on the mound. They knew it was a possibility. The Royals playing a little small ball. Dyson coming in like a bullet. I mean, he was flying. Love his late slide. He's able to get his hand in there at maximum speed. Zunino, way late.
Base hit! What a homestand for Salvador Perez!
Salvador Perez with a game-winning hit last night for the Royals as they knocked off the Tampa Bay Rays to avoid a sweep. Final score, Royals 9 and the Rays 8. As you heard those highlights, Carlos Santana with a two-run homer in the 7th to give the Royals a 7-6 lead. The Royals were down 4-0 and hadn't even batted in the first inning. They were down 6-3 in the bottom of the 7th, score 4 to take the lead. Rays have come back with 1 in the 8th, 1 in the 9th. Helped by a Salvador Perez throwing error in the 8th inning that allowed them to tie it and then take the lead, but the Royals would come right back, and they're able to tie it on that to Gerard Dyson. He was pinch running, stole second, bunted the third as Michael Taylor reached on a bloop single. And so it was Dyson out there. He stole second, made it third on a bunt from Hanser Alberto, and it was Nicky Lopez's squeeze bunt you just heard that allowed Dyson to slide home safely to tie it. It was a safety squeeze. And there's a difference between suicide squeeze and safety squeeze. Suicide squeeze is the runner from third is coming no matter what. And if the guy misses the bunt, then he's probably a dead duck at the plate. Safety squeeze is you're getting a really good jump or lead off at third. And then as soon as you see the ball down, then you can take off and go. The safety squeeze worked. That tied the game. And then Salvador Perez with the game-winning hit down the third baseline. Salvador Perez doing things here in this homestand are pretty impressive. Sally's the first Royals player with two walk-off hits within 4 days since Darryl Porter in 1980. So we're going back 41 years. And, of course, 1980, the Royals went to the World Series and lost to the Phillies in 6 games. But Sally with the game-winning hit, and it did remind a lot of people of that wild card game that the Royals won in 2014 over the A's 9-8. The Royals avoid the series sweep. They end the 10-day homestand with a victory. They went 6-4 in their homestand. And even though it was limited capacity at the stadium instead of a packed house, the way the 9th inning transpired felt eerily similar to that wild card win over the A's in extra innings in 2014, right down to Salvador Perez's celebration. Game-winning hit down the third baseline, a celebration almost identical to the game last night to 7 years ago for the wild card. Both were 9-8 victories for the Royals. The Royals overcame four-run deficits in both the wild card game in 14 and last night. Both those games, Gerard Dyson came in, pinch ran, stole second, scored late. And, of course, there was the hit down the third baseline, the game winner past Josh Donaldson in 2014, and the game winner last night in the bottom of the ninth to beat the Rays. So pretty interesting stuff. And I guess what they say, what goes around comes around, or I don't know, deja vu all over again is what Yogi Berra would say. It certainly felt like that last night as the Royals are still in first place. They are 10-7 on the season. They have a 1.5 game lead in the American League Central. Royals will be back in action coming up tomorrow night. They have today off. They'll be at the Tigers. Tigers are 7-11. Mike Minor will be on the hill for the Royals. Royals last night, as we said, two deficits, a four-run deficit in the first, a three-run deficit in the seventh, but it was not too much to overcome. Jorge Soler, breaking out of his funk, 3 out of 4, 2 runs scored an RBI. Hunter Dozier had a home run. Soler had a home run, Dozier's first homer of the year. We talked about yesterday, if you can get Soler and Dozier and Benintendi to start hitting the ball, both are hitting around 200. Dozier's hitting 140. Now imagine what might happen for the Royals and then get Mondesi back, although Mondesi's still about 4 or 5 weeks away, it sounds like, from coming back, so they'll have to wait for him for a while. But Nicky Lopez done a pretty nice job at short in place of Mondesi, and the Royals did hit 3 homers last night. Of course, Santana, the one that gave him the lead for a short period of time there in the bottom of the 7th. Jacob Junis, after a really rough first inning, was able to steady the ship. 3 walks, 3 strikeouts, allowed a homer, 5 runs, 6 hits in 5 innings. Josh Domont, Jake Brents, and Scott Barlow all came in and each gave up a run. The Royals bullpen a little bit thin after having the game prior when they lost 14-7, so not everybody was available. So it was key for Junis to right the ship after giving up four runs in the top of the first. He did, and the Royals end up winning the ball game. Mike Matheny, manager of the Royals, very, very happy, pleased, and excited, and yet sounds a little bit worn out after that great comeback last night.
I don't even really know what to say, except what I was just saying as I walked through that line, high-fiving guys. I love this team. That's all I got for you. So go ahead and hit me with questions because I'm like spinning here. I'll say this too. Opening day win was really special, but I don't know if you can get one much better than that one we just witnessed right there. All things considered, and how these guys went about it, man, so proud of them. I can honestly say I've never been around a team like this. Regardless what happens, they just believe.
And that's what the Royals did in 14 and 15, didn't they? So you're starting to feel a good vibe about the Royals here in 2021. Although it is early, Royals still in first place by a game and a half over the Indians in the AL Central with a record of 10-7. The new leader of the American League West is the hottest team in baseball. They won a wild one last night for their 11th win in a row.
Arise has it. Not an easy play. His throw wide, and the A's are going to win.
You got to be kidding me.
Kemp scores, Andrus scores, and the luck and everything that's going right for the A's just continues.
Unbelievable.
An air kept the game going. Another air and two runs score, and the A's continue. What a stretch by the Athletics.
The A's entered the bottom of the 10th inning trailing by two runs. They did not record a hit in the inning. Yet when the dust settled, they came away victorious. Wild extra-inning contest last night between the A's and Twins that featured eight lead changes, 25 runs, 31 hits combined, seven homers, but was ultimately decided by back-to-back errors, including that one you heard just a moment ago, as the A's beat the Twins 13-12 in walk-off style in the bottom of the 10th. The win caps a three-game sweep and extends Oakland's Major League best winning streak to 11 games. And here's something that's crazy. The A's started the year 0-6. That's right. The A's started the year 0-6. They've won 11 in a row. Remember, the Red Sox started 0-3. They won 9 in a row. So the A's lead the American League West with a 12-7 record. Boston leads the AL East 12-7. Royals lead the Central at 10-7. And in the National League, the Mets are 7-6, a half-game lead over the Phillies. Milwaukee now a game-and-a-half lead over Cincinnati. And the Dodgers have a three-game lead over San Francisco, as the Dodgers, the defending World Series champions, off to an outstanding start. All right, in regards to local sports for today, there is some baseball on the schedule. And if Mother Nature cooperates and the field dries out, hopefully we'll have varsity baseball today. Southeast Saline at Beloit. First game at 4 o'clock. Second game to follow. Doubleheader in the North Central Activity Association. Both those games can be watched live video stream at nckssports.com via the Beloit Trojan Channel. Concordia will be in the NCKL Mideast League games. And in softball, Southeast Saline at Beloit at 4 o'clock, doubleheader. Second game to follow. Both those games live video stream at nckssports.com via the Beloit Trojan Channel. Also, Sylvan Lucas at Republic County for a twin bill in softball. Track and field, Ellsworth's at the Sterling Invitational, Republic County to Washington County Invitational. When it comes to golf, Beloit, Ellsworth, Minneapolis, Republic County, Southeast Saline, Osborne, Smith Center, and Concordia all be at the Beloit Golf Invitational. And that begins at 3 o'clock today. The full schedule is posted on our website there, nckssports.com, along with the latest athletes of the week. Powerlifting results from this past weekend. Lincoln girls winning the team title. The information about the live video streaming and links to that and much more posted for you, along with Keisha's regional track and field assignments, golf assignments, tennis assignments, and also baseball and softball regional assignments, all posted at nckssports.com. Marcus Garrett announcing on KU's website last night in a goodbye letter titled Rock Chalk Forever that he was declaring for the 2021 NBA draft, and that putting all my efforts into preparing for the 2021 NBA draft and not planning to return to KU for another season. You may say, well, how's that possible? Garrett was a senior. He actually could have come back because of the blanket waiver where everybody that played last year in sports in college, their eligibility that year was not used. It was just waived for eligibility. So Garrett could have come back if he wanted to. He says there's only one bad part about being a basketball player at Kansas. You know what it is, saying goodbye. I always knew I was going to have to do it. It doesn't matter when you leave this place. It's the worst part because it's so special. So I'm not leaving without letting you all know how thankful I am. Bill Self was quoted as saying, Marcus is a great player, and I would have loved for him to return for another season. But the reality is this is the best decision for him, and we fully support that. I believe what he accomplished in his career here at KU has put him in a great position to make this step. He has meant a lot to our program and our fans, and we all know he will continue to make us proud. So Marcus Garrett will not be coming back to KU. It was kind of a long shot anyway, but there was, you know, technically a chance that had he chose to come back for another year, as my oldest son said when we were talking about this the other day, he goes, why would you want to go back for another year when you can go into the real world? And I said, well, it's an option for him. And he decided to go ahead and fulfill his dreams and try to make it on an NBA basketball team. So best of luck to Marcus Garrett. In the NBA last night, it was the Warriors and the Wizards. It was Westbrook versus Curry. Curry's been red hot. Westbrook, Mr. Triple-Double.
Westbrook's running. He has Bertans. Westbrook wants the finger roll instead. He's got the triple-double. Westbrook against Wiggins. Westbrook to the hoop again. Gives the Wizards the lead. He's got 14.
Russell Westbrook, another triple-double. I think, what is that, 9 or 10 in a row now? 14 points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists. 20 rebounds for your point guard. That's pretty impressive. So he gets a triple-double. The Wizards win over the Warriors, 118 to 114. Former Jayhawk Kelly Oubre led the way with 24 points for the Warriors. Yes, Steph Curry did not lead his team in scoring. Steph Curry last night cooled down considerably, finally had a bad game. 18 points, 7 of 25 from the floor, hit just 2 out of 14 threes. As Russell Westbrook gets triple-double, he was also guarding Steph Curry most of the night and cooled him down. So Westbrook wins the battle last night. His team wins the game. Wizards over the Warriors in NBA action. Other NBA action last night, a crazy game between the 76ers and the Suns. Former KU Jayhawk Joel Embiid, an MVP candidate. What a game he had. 38 points, 17 rebounds. And it came down to a final shot. And this is crazy. The Suns, if they were up 3, 116 to 113, and to make a free throw, their last free throw, they sealed the game. Instead, with just a second or so to go, they missed the free throw. Joel Embiid gets the rebound, and he chucked it the length of the floor, and the shot hit the backboard and rimmed out. It was halfway down and out. So Embiid almost had a full court heave that would have tied the game and sent it into overtime. And it was amazing how that ball didn't go in. And Joel Embiid nearly pulled it off with a full court heave to tie the game and force overtime. Unfortunately, it spun out. And the Suns get the win. And the Suns, man, you add Chris Paul to your team, you're automatically going to be better. Paul had 28 last night. And the Suns fighting with the Jazz for the number one seed in the Western Conference. The Suns win 116 to 113. Other NBA finals, Pacers over the Thunder 122 to 116. Cavs over the Bulls, 121 to 105. The Raptors beat the Nets, 114 to 103, despite Kyrie Irving's 28 points and 11 rebounds. And the Hawks, Trae Young left with an ankle injury. The Knicks beat the Hawks for their seventh win in a row in overtime, 137 to 127. Julius Randle continues to have a huge year with 40 points. The Jazz stay ahead of the Suns for the race for the number one seed. They're 44 and 15, and NBA's best record. They beat the Rockets, 112 to 89. And it was the Mavericks over the Pistons. Luka Doncic's 30 points, 10 rebounds, and just missed a triple-double with 9 assists. Mavericks beat the Pistons 127-117. The Heat beat Dusty Spurs 107-87 last night. And it was the Clippers continuing to play red-hot basketball. They beat the Grizzlies 117-105. The Nuggets edged the Blazers 106-105. Nikola Jokic with 25. Damian Lillard 22 for the Blazers. And the Kings beat the Timberwolves 128-125 in that game. All right, so the NFL, updating a few things when it comes to NFL replay for the upcoming season. They're going to allow a little bit of input from an extra official up in a booth to talk with the official on the field, perhaps give some opinions and advice, but it's still up to the official on the field to declare whether or not the play stands, overturned, inconclusive, whatever the case may be. One of the interesting things that's changed, though, and it was a proposal by the Kansas City Chiefs, and it has been approved by the National Football League yesterday. The NFL has upheld rigid jersey number restrictions since 1973, requiring certain positions to fall within certain digits, but that will change dramatically in the upcoming NFL season. The league has instituted minor tweaks over the years, like allowing wide receivers to wear numbers between 10 and 19, in addition to 80 and 89, but The NFL's competition committee voted Wednesday to pass a proposal by the Kansas City Chiefs, significantly loosening restrictions so much that every skill position will now be eligible to wear single digits. That's right. So if Travis Kelce wants to wear single digits, he can. If Tyreek Hill wants to get a single digits, he can. The proposal reportedly primarily stemmed from the increasing size of offseason and in-season rosters, which cut down on teams' available jersey numbers, especially if franchises have also retired or paused usage of certain digits made famous by all-time greats. But they'll likely be a welcome change for many players who enjoyed more jersey number freedom in college. How exactly do the rules look now that the proposal has passed? Here's a look at what the numbers are available by position. Quarterback, the previous rule and the new rule stays 1 to 19. So a quarterback has to wear either 1 through number 19. No quarterback can wear 20 or anything above that. Running back, the previous rules was 20 to 49. And wide receivers and tight ends, the numbers were 10 to 19 and 80 to 89. Well, now running back, wide receiver, tight end can be anywhere from 1 to 49 and 80 to 89. So that opens up some single-digit numbers some star players had in college they may go back to. And, of course, you may say, what's the big deal here? Well, that's going to be all about, you know what, merchandise, jersey sales, so forth and so on. Remember, Kobe Bryant changed his number, and he had great jersey sales when he changed his number. LeBron's had different numbers because he was 6 with the Heat and then 23 with the Cavs. Offensive lineman numbers stay the same. Defensive lineman numbers stay the same. Linebacker numbers now are different. Used to be 50 to 79 or 90 to 99. Well, now you could see Anthony Hitchens wearing number one. That's right. A linebacker could wear anywhere from number one to 59 or 90 through 99. Cornerbacks and safeties in the past could only wear a number between 20 and 49. Now they can wear 1 through 49. Tyrann Mathieu talked about changing his number to 21. Tyrann Mathieu was a single-digit number in college. I'm thinking he was 7, but I don't remember for sure. So Tyrann Mathieu could go to number 1 or number 7 or 4 or whatever he might want to do there, or Juan Thornhill or Daniel Sorensen. So that's wide open, 1 to 49. Kickers and punters, they will stay 1 through 19. So your quarterbacks and kickers and punters numbers stay the same. Your offensive and defensive linemen stay the same, but linebackers, corners and safeties, wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs, they now have more numbers to choose from as to what they wear on game days and practices and whatever the case may be. So interesting little change there, and you might see some players for the Chiefs and other teams that you cover and follow that may change their number. Also, the NFL wants to see more onside kicks recovered. They've approved an experimental rule that may make it easier for clubs to recover onside kicks. It's a one-year experiment for this upcoming season. And, of course, the jersey rule is the number one thing people have kind of been caught up on, like I was. But there is a new rule that has been approved by the owners in regards to receiving an onside kick. The receiving team will be able to have no more than 9 players lined up in the setup zone, which is the area between 10 and 25 yards of the kickoff spot. In the past, teams routinely put 10 or 11 players in the setup zone in anticipation of the opponent opting for an onside kick. When the league changed the kickoff rules and eliminated a running start on kickoffs, however, the onside kick success rate fell, with fewer players now able to go after the ball. The theory is that onside kicks will have a better chance of being recovered by the kicking team, and thus they're only allowing 9 players instead of 10 or 11 to be in that setup zone when it comes to defending and trying to recover an onside kick if you're the team that is on the receiving end. So it's only passed for 1 year. They're going to see if it makes a difference. They could go back to the old rule. They could stick with this new rule. They might tweak it again. But it's all about providing a better opportunity for the kicking team to recover an onside kick. Last year, there were 67 onside kicks and only three all season long were successful. So I understand that. There's been lots of proposals out there. The Eagles had one in regards to alternative, a 4th and 15. If you convert it, you got to keep the ball. As in essence, it's like recovering onside kick. You keep possession. There was also talk of a 4th and 20 situation. So there have been various things proposed, but they're going to stick with the kick for an onside kick, but just limit the amount of players that are in a setup zone trying to receive the onside kick, which would maybe allow the kicking team a better chance to recover the onside kick. So we will see how all that works in 2020. 2021. Every year there's a few tweaks here and there as to what the NFL does and what other leagues do too. I mean, we've seen baseball, as we talked about it. They have made a few changes, a runner to start the extra innings at second base, 7-inning doubleheaders, and so forth and so on. So sports is always evolving. There are always ways to tweak things and try to make it better. Of course, one of the biggest things that ever happened to sports here in recent memory, maybe it's not so recent anymore, and that is instant replay, which, of course, as we all know, has its benefits and has its flaws, no doubt. And despite all the time we've had to try to figure out how to use replay and how to utilize it and then how to actually watch it correctly and whether or not we overturn a call or not, which has still been very controversial when it's been pretty obvious in Major League Baseball a couple times this year, it is still a work in progress. All right, once again, local sports information. If you need to follow schedules, scores, or your favorite teams, North Central Activity Association, North Plains League, Concordia, Smith Center, and others, visit ncksports.com. That'll put a wrap on the show today. See, sometimes we go long. Today we went shorter. Yeah, Matthew Derrick at Chiefs Digest will be our guest next Wednesday as he'll preview the NFL draft. The Chiefs have the 31st overall pick in the first round, the second to last pick. And it will be interesting to see if there's a lot of trades between now and draft day. The three-day NFL draft begins a week from today, next Thursday, April 29th, and concludes on Friday and then into Saturday. So a three-day NFL draft event, and that's when lots of NFL teams get pretty excited, hoping that they will draft that diamond in the rough or that superstar to help turn their franchise around or be the difference between making the playoffs, not making the playoffs, difference between making the playoffs, making the Super Bowl, difference between making the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl. And, of course, the Chiefs, their goal is to make it back to the Super Bowl a third straight year and hopefully win it this time around after winning it 2 years ago, losing it this past year. And the Chiefs do have some needs, as does every NFL team. Some prognosticators have said the Chiefs will draft offensive lineman, a corner. There have been one or two that said a wide receiver. So we'll see what the Chiefs end up doing. Their first-round pick will be next Thursday. Matthew Derrick to preview the draft next Wednesday on The Ticket.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.